Hi. This week the question is, should the church accept homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle? Now the question is not asking if the church should accept people who wish to quit practicing the homosexual lifestyle and become Christians. Nor is this question asking if the church should be encouraging to those who struggle with the temptation of homosexuality. The answer to both of those questions is a simple yes. The church should accept people who wish to quit their sinful lifestyles and become Christians. And the church should encourage members who struggle with temptations to sin. As a matter of fact, listen to the following passage. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now this is an important passage. It's important for two reasons. First, this passage is stating that those actively participating in the homosexual lifestyle cannot go to heaven. Notice the two words. First, homosexuals. This is defined in a bad sense of men, effeminate, unmanly, especially of a man or boy who submits his body to homosexual lewdness, catamite, homosexual, pervert. That's the definition given by Freiburg. Also, the second word is sodomites, which is defined as an adult male who practices sexual intercourse with another adult male or boy, homosexual, sodomite, pederast. That's Freiburg again. In other words, those who willingly participate in homosexual activities, whether actively or passively, are not able to go to heaven like that. And please notice, this is not speaking about someone who is being raped against their will. Now, second, this passage is important because it states that people can be forgiven of homosexual activity. The sin under consideration is not the temptation to commit sin, but rather the actual participation in sinful behavior. Just because a person is tempted does not mean that a person has sinned. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, but he never sinned. Hebrews 4, verse 15. A person could be tempted to lie about something, but still end up telling the truth even though they were tempted to lie. A person could be tempted to steal money that's laying on someone's desk, but still end up leaving the money alone and walking away. And likewise, a person could be tempted to commit adultery or homosexuality, but in the end, they walk away and refuse to give in to the temptation. Now, the world speaks on behalf of the devil and tries to convince people that if they're tempted, then A, they've already sinned, and B, they might as well go ahead and participate in the actual commission of the sin. Well, this is wrong. Parents, for example, might be tempted to strangle their teenager, but that does not mean, A, they have already sinned, and B, they might as well go ahead and actually strangle their teenager. No, Christians must learn to overcome temptations and not give in to those temptations. So if a person has given in to sin, they must seek forgiveness on God's terms. Forgiveness from God means, first, that one must realize and admit that he or she has sinned. They must repent of that sinful behavior, Luke 13, verse 3. Believe in Jesus as the Savior sent from God, John 8, verse 24. Confess their belief in Jesus as the Son of God, Romans 10, verse 10, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2, verse 38. The real question that our society needs to be asking is homosexuality a sin? The answer is absolutely. The number of people committing a sin does not make a sin right or acceptable. Even if half of all of the population were homosexual, this does not make it right in the sight of God. Did Jesus himself speak on the issue of homosexuality? He did. Listen to him in Matthew 19, verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Now, God created men and women with sexual desires. He designed marriage as the only avenue in which to fulfill those desires. The only form of marriage ordained by God is marriage between a man and a woman. Biological men may not marry other biological men, and biological women may not marry other biological women. Again, the Apostle Paul speaks on behalf of the Lord when he wrote the following in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." This is very blunt language in the Bible. God wrote it like this for a reason. He did not want anyone to be confused. So in answer to our question this week, should the church accept homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle? The answer is no. The church cannot lower standards which God has set. It is the responsibility of the church to preach the truth as revealed by God, not to lower standards to conform to trends in society. The church is to be the support and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Well, thanks for considering our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com. There are no spaces between those words. willofthelord.com. And there at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.